Oh, where could Tom Scallon be? The man's probably sleeping, it's past 7:30. We got a guest host, Willie Nelson, could it be? His last name is Nelson, but his first name is actually Lee.
Welcome back to Talking the Wonk. This is episode 75, Memorabilia. I am Paul Patterson.
And I'm guest host Lee Nelson.
Thanks to Bailey Bishop and her artwork, Jake Brown and his music, social media and Tyler Stanley, Jill Martin fact checker, and of course, Jeff Graby with marketing. So why are we recording on a Monday and why didn't we record last week? Well, because we're busy. And this was our only shot this week, in my opinion, to get things done. The end of the year tournaments, the end of the year basketball, end of the year wrestling, end of the year swimming, all of those things going on made it a little bit tougher to get to where we needed to, which was here recording. So that's why we're here tonight, because we're basketball, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Fridays are just a little tougher to record on. So that's why we're here. Watch update. Yeah, we're up to 1,400 calories. So let's move into Katie's Theater. Here's a little twist for you in Katie's Theater. Tom Scallon sent in a movie suggestion. In fact, there are two movie suggestions. Here's the first one. Movie suggestion, About Time. Okay? So we are going to read two movie suggestions by Tom Scallon to Katie's Theater, and we're going to see if you can guess what rating they got. Are you ready? About Time. So this was the one that he sent to both of us in terms of an email about her watching it. Wow, Scallon, this was a surprising pick coming from you. This movie had me smiling the whole time. In this movie, the main character goes back in time to try and change certain events in his life. Great movie for anyone who loves romance movies.
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, 5 out of 5. But Scallon picked it. That's almost a Festivus miracle. Another Scallon recommendation, Stardust. Not exactly my kind of romance movie, but it was pretty good. Robert De Niro is great in this movie. He was a pleasant surprise. The ending was a bit much for me.
3.5.
You are 2 for 2. Excellent job. Boom. Okay, Parent Trap. Remember, we suggested that based on the fact that that's what we talked about last week. And this is the OG version. I didn't love this version, not as funny or sarcastic as the newer one. Had a hard time watching it, but the storyline is still good. What'd you give that, the OG Parent Trap?
3.
Dang it. 2 out of 5.
Oof.
Newer version, however, gets what from her?
4.5.
That's 5 out of 5. Funny, romantic, and a good family-friendly movie. Sweet Magnolias, the show. Totally agree with Christy. I'm about done with season 2 and it's just as good or even better than season 1.
5.
Yeah, 5 out of 5. Why not? And then Good Will Hunting. Wait till you hear who recommended this for her. Recommendation by the Al Lammers. The how do you like them apples scene was funny. This scene is what made Al recommend the movie. There are a lot of intense scenes in this movie. Great storyline, had romance, but it's not clear how it ends up, and I don't like that. I surprisingly really enjoyed this movie.
4.5.
4 out of 5. That's a pretty good list. 1, 2, yeah. And that's a show. So a season. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things she reviewed. 2 of which were suggested by Scallon, and a 3rd out of the 6 suggested by Al Lammers.
Wow.
Yeah. Probably should have warned everybody that was happening before anything too crazy happened if you were driving. Just a quick reminder that if you have anything for Katie's Theater, make sure you get that to us as far as your recommendation so she can watch it. Okay, here we go. You ready for questions? This is all dealing with parking lot. Okay. How long will you circle the parking lot trying to find a spot closer?
I will not. and just find the first parking spot I can find.
Okay. So you are not a bargain or a closer parking spot searcher. You are just pulling in and going.
We made the mistake of going to Hy-Vee on Super Bowl Sunday.
Good move.
There legitimately was not a parking spot at all. Like I circled just to try to find a spot.
What made you decide that Super Bowl Sunday was the time to go to Hy-Vee?
It's like 11. We needed some groceries, so we went.
Okay. I guess, you know, out of necessity. How far is too far?
For what? A parking spot?
Away, yeah, from the front door.
No such thing.
Even Walmart, you can't get far enough west. You would park where you could get gas there at Walmart, and then you'd be good.
I don't know if I would ever go to Walmart when it was like that, but yeah, I think you have to. I mean, if you're just choosing a spot, I mean, I could definitely be inside parking a long ways away faster than I would if I just circled.
Okay.
To say what, like 100 steps?
Just checking. Yeah. Just checking. I was thinking about that the other day when I was driving through. Okay. Any hard no's in the parking lot game?
Meaning what?
Meaning something that you for surely will never do.
Well, I will not put my blinker on to turn into a parking spot like the lady did yesterday when the person was putting their groceries in their car. She already went blinker and then was parked in the middle. So then I had to sit there and wait because I couldn't go by her. Literally, this guy was putting groceries into his trunk and she already had blinker on. And then he had to take his cart and put it back. And then he had to get into his car and back up. It was, I hate when people do that.
Will you park next to a cart return?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Any side?
I think that'd be my first choice.
Any side?
Mm-hmm.
Even the side closest to the store? You'll park in the cart return there?
Like next to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's two spots, right? There's either the spot farther away from the front door or the door, or there's the spot closest to it. And you'll pick either one.
Yeah, I really am not picky about a parking spot.
Doesn't matter. Will you ever drive the wrong way to get to a spot?
No. I hate when people do that.
Will you park? Like if you're driving down the down and an up spot is open, will you pull your car into the up spot without reversing your field?
Say that again.
So there's a spot that's going this way.
Yep, but
driving
I'm going
down
the other
same
way.
Aisle, but you're coming this way. Will you just pull into it from the other side?
Sure.
Okay.
No. Sure.
You got it. Can you think of anything else parking lot wise? I can't. Those were the questions that I had in my head when it came to the
I mean, I see people like do the circle thing. You know, and like trying to find the spot that's gonna, I just don't know what value it adds to your life to be parked closer. Now, if it's negative 20, then maybe, but why are you going to the store anyway?
I would tell you the time that I don't mind getting a little closer to the front is when there is a heavy snow at some point in time in the week, and there is still a lot of snow and it's slushy in the parking lot. And I know that I'm going to have to push a heavy cart out. I'm not a big fan of parking a long ways away to get through the parking lot when that happens. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Other than that, I would like to park and get in and get done as quickly as possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And yeah, just to be able to leave. That's my favorite part about going to the store is leaving.
I mean, it makes sense. Okay. You ready for confessional?
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Eric Church Saturday night, and my big crowd anxiety is getting worse and worse. And I think it's partly because of the how unfrequent I go to things. I don't want to go out. So I'm struggling. And it was in high alert on Saturday night with the old Eric Church concert. Number two, I am officially basketballed out. And I will, I mean, to be fair, I am at the end of football. I am also footballed out. And now I don't want you to get confused that, oh, at the end of the football season, you're no. At the end of football, meaning make it all the way through a high school season. Then you get through college, you get through bowls, and then you get to the finish of the NFL and the playoffs. I'm footballed out. I just am. So right now, currently basketballed out, just from the standpoint of every time we go, it's three games. And my I'm ready for one game a night, which will happen on Wednesday and then next Monday for sure. So that's where I'm at. You hopping in?
Yeah, I am going to actually kind of go on that last one you said.
Okay.
Maybe it was just me, but I didn't feel like the Super Bowl was like the Super Bowl this year. Like it didn't feel like that big of a game. And I don't know why. Maybe it was because all the talk going in was the halftime show. And what'd less about, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
But that's like, you know, my era of music, yours too. So I thought it was awesome, but like the football part, like I wasn't that excited even to like place a few bets. I really wasn't like that into it. It just never really felt like I was watching the game that decides everything for the season. It was a weird feeling watching that game.
This is where I was with the Super Bowl yesterday. As I was getting things ready for dinner last evening, which I made nachos, I stopped for commercials to watch the commercials, and I got things ready and had my head down and paid. I just listened to the game. The commercials to me were, I think, far more interesting. Because you didn't know what was coming and what was going to be next than the game itself. So, and I don't know if that's because of the teams. I mean, you're a Packers fan. So that's probably why you didn't. I loved 2 weekends ago, the championship weekend. I thought those two games were absolutely fantastic and they were a lot of fun. Yeah. But again, I'm also at the end of my football rope here. So I'm sure that had something to do with it too, but what'd you think? Did you, and I don't really want to spend too much time on the commercials, but did you enjoy? I enjoyed Austin Powers. Mm-hmm. And I love Doritos.
I like that NFL commercial with the little NFL people.
Yes, that was pretty good. Coming out of the TV.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was good. But honestly, I just didn't watch, I didn't pay attention, period, very much. Or commercials. Like it was on, but it was like, I don't know, just it had a different feeling.
Good with that. Okay. Feedback. Jeff Graby up first. Like Tom, usually bowl games for Iowa. Seems like I'm either back home with family when they play, or we'll get together with friends. I truly do think that the majority of clubs' bottom line is money. And I think many parents would rather pay to be on a good club and win then have their kid develop skills that will help them be better. If their kid is playing, of course. You will see on the wrestling club scene that those who run the club boast about the kids in their club's state and national placement, saying things like, we had 7 state champs, 5 runner-ups, and 46 placed winners, as if they are completely taking all the credit. Like Lee said, marketing and money. Those good kids from good programs are coming into work with other high-level kids to get more work in. I see one of the high-level clubs with elite kids who perform really well until their body starts to wear down. Happens to them either late in high school or early college because he has them wrestling 80 to 100 matches a year. Holy cow. Those kids aren't elite because they wrestled that many matches. It's because they have a special talent, and most parents won't be happy with their kids playing a role. They want them to be the star. Thoughts on that?
Pretty similar to what we talked about, I think, throughout the podcast a couple weeks ago now.
Okay. Are you ready?
I don't remember specifically. But yeah.
This is from Brock Sweckle. I want you to be sitting down for this one. talked to my dad. He was a bartender at John's, which was then renamed to Rudy's, which is now 804, I believe. Oh, I like that. You perked up.
I did.
He said he had never heard of anyone getting married there, but never had anything to do with it when it was Rudy's, as much as I can find on the case as of now. So we've got them. We've got some people diving, trying to find out an answer for you. Okay. That's not the only thing he had, but I knew that was the one particular piece that you would be the most interested in. Love the pod. Biggest sports deal for me is probably Cy-Hawk, all game. I can relate to the topic quite a bit and give a lot of feedback, but I will refrain. You're going to hear my answer to that here in just a second. I would say if I could go back, I would have wrestled in high school, but none of the other sports interest me. So I focused on being the best I could for football. Lee will be disappointed. This is now me coming back to him. Lee will be disappointed to hear that news about Rudy's. I think that you should not refrain what you got. So I pulled it out of him. Well, I don't know. This is coming back to Brock. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with focusing on one sport, but I do agree it depends on what the goal is. I don't think it's wrong to have the focus be to get a scholarship. That was one of my main focuses, but I knew the way to do that was to focus on the craft and get better yourself. I do wish I would have wrestled in high school. That's one other sport I actually liked. I just didn't really like other sports, so I focused on football. I also think it'd be helpful to have someone who has played college sports come talk candidly about what it's really like. Very different than what even I expected, and it was a big step up in commitment from even what I was used to. It is also totally about being able to post on social media nowadays. So many people seem like they can't work out without posting something about it. Me and Tom, that's Thomas Doherty, his buddy, both focused on football only, but I think that's more because we loved it and we were focused on being the best we could rather than just being focused on a scholarship or recognition. I think it's true what Lee said. It should be so you can make the team better, and that was always our focus. Rant over. So for me, what I told him, and I don't want to make sure that I don't condemn anybody for wanting to get better. My issues come with two things. Number one, when you completely replace working out with your team and at school with going to work out someplace else, I think that's a mistake. And then the second thing that I struggle with is when someone is promising you a scholarship because you come work out with them. Those are the things that I struggle with. And I don't know if that point came across when we were in the Parent Trap episode, but that's where I was at with that. So, okay. Cole Hopkins, do you have anything to that one?
No.
Cole Hopkins, I'm catching up on pods in reverse chronological order. So Parent Trap, the most invested I get into a sporting event is the first big Nebraska game of the season before it has become clear that it will be another disappointing season. This year, it was the Michigan game. Outside of personal investment, I always try and watch the college football playoff national championship game and Super Bowl with friends. Since I'm behind the eight ball, where are we at with total number of listens? So I sent that to him to get that done. So it was pretty good. And then Criswell just sent this to me late today. If it's a big game that I'm really into, regardless whether it's college or pro, I want to watch it by myself and or with minimal distraction. Day of the week matters. If I'm off the following day, much more apt to go to a game to watch. Go to a party to watch the game. And then our final piece is from Christy. Have a party if the Cowboys are playing in the Super Bowl, or maybe a Super Bowl party regardless of the team if they move the game to Saturday, as Sunday gets so late. And it was, 9 o'clock, I think, last night? Is that accurate? When it ended, it might have been even after 9 o'clock when it finally wrapped up. I think the opportunities kids have has increased, which is great, but the use of them has gotten out of control, as has the price and the sales pitch that happens. 30 years ago, I played golf in college. I didn't sign or say I got an offer. To me, only do D1 athletes truly have signed or received / accepted an offer. Everyone gets offers from colleges to go to school when they apply, and technically they sign when they pay their money and say they are going. It would be nice if the hype around all of this would be more realistic and people stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Honestly, unless you are a super athlete, D1, your best bet to pay for college is to have good grades and get academic scholarships. People need to change their focus. And then also, you forgot to mention at Newton, the chuck a duck with the Cardinal in the middle proved to be controversial as it kicked some of the ducks off the target. I did forget. The Cardinal swiped its foot and moved some of the ducks that were close to the target. Yeah, they were hot. So let's move on to high school. Do you have any other feedback? You good?
I'm good.
Okay. Robo Warriors for us finished second. And I don't know if it's regional, super regionals, whatever it was, but they get a chance to compete at state, which would be this coming weekend, I think Friday and Saturday, somewhere in the Coralville, Iowa City. One of the young men that's on the Robo Warriors is in our room, and he couldn't tell us exactly the venue. So it's somewhere over there in that area. Wrestling, we had 5. Move on. On Saturday, you guys had 7, if I remember correctly. So we had Jake McKenzie at 120. We had Trent Harper at, I think I got Trent right. I get him wrong. Yep, Trent Harper at 126. And then we had, and I'm looking them up just to make sure that I have them correct, Gonovan Card at 132. We had Hunter Blomgren at 220. And we had Maddox Borcherding Johnson at heavyweight, or 285. And Maddox Borcherding Johnson also achieved his 100th win on Saturday at the district meet. Do you have your guys or not?
I know them, yeah.
Okay. Do you want to say them or not?
Yeah, yeah. So we have Bowen Downey at 113, Cale Meacham at 132, Ryder Downey at 145, Bryce Aldridge at 160, Walker Whalen at 195, Cale Crawford at 220, and Jackson Boyd at 285.
There you go. So a good day for you guys also.
Yep. Yeah. And then obviously get to wrestle in the state duels as well.
Oh, sure. Forget about that. Wednesday. That's Wednesday.
Yep. Yep.
You guys had at your state duel qualifying meet, you had Atoma versus Bondurant first round. Mm-hmm. And then you took on Bondurant, who won that first one against Atoma.
Yep. And then Bondurant was at our district as well on Saturday.
Okay. Okay. So you got to see them again. We had Ankeny Centennial at Waukee Northwest, and we got beat by Ankeny Centennial, and then Waukee Northwest beat Ankeny Centennial. So that's how wrestling shook out. And then bowling for us today, we were at Urban Dolly with Creston, Des Moines, Hoover, Lewis Central girls, Newton, Oskaloosa, Atoma boys, Urban Dolly, and Waverly Shell Rock. That's where we were. Do you guys bowl?
With Lincoln.
Oh, shoot. I got to find Lincoln.
Yeah, I have no idea. I've not seen it. I've not gotten any bowling updates.
Des Moines Lincoln, you guys were at Bowlerama at Des Moines Lincoln. So it was a home one for you. You had Cedar Rapids, Kennedy, Council Bluffs, Abe Lincoln, Des Moines Lincoln, Des Moines Roosevelt, Lewis Central Boys, Atoma Girls, Sioux Central Boys, Sioux City North, Sioux City East, Southeast Polk. That's how you had. And I did not hear how that went. I don't know the answer to that. Basketball for us, boys will host Roosevelt on Monday, 21st, a week from today. The winner of that will play Johnston. And then on the other side, we have Dowling Catholic versus Des Moines North first round with Council Bluffs, Lincoln, Abe Lincoln waiting in the wings after that. The issue, obviously, for Council Bluffs, Abe Lincoln, is that they lost their star player. Who do you guys have?
We actually have 2 regular season games this week. We host Urbandale on Tuesday night, and then we go to Bondurant on Thursday. And then we have a bye on that Monday. We are the 2 seed in our sub-state, and we will play the winner of Urbandale and Des Moines East.
Okay. Which based on records, Urbandale would look to come out of that.
Yeah. They're the 3 seed.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Then the girls, we're in the same. So I'll take care of all that. Mm-hmm. Oskaloosa is at Fairfield. No, they're hosting Fairfield.
Yep. Yep.
The winner goes to you. And then we host Newton on Monday. Nope. Sorry. On Wednesday of this week. And then winner goes to Bondurant. And then whoever comes out of the Indianola Bondurant side, whoever's the highest seed gets to host that sub-state final round. So that's how that shakes out. And then for us swimming, you know, we had Will Chase, who qualified for the state swim meet, and I did not see results for him from Saturday, but a great effort by Will to be in there. So did you have anybody place?
Yeah, we are probably the most popular swim team over the course of the last week. I think everyone, and we've touched about this on the podcast before, but everyone now got to read or see the story about Isaiah Picard. He's a freshman that swims on our team. He's from Knoxville, that was born with spina bifida and basically, you know, wants to swim, but cannot use his legs. So we talked about how the athletic association was really good to work with and create this division for para swimmers. And unfortunately, he's the only one. Fortunately, that means he's a 2-time state champion as a freshman. And I would hope that, and I would guess Isaiah would say this too, like, it's awesome to get his story out there. But I think the big part about it is to hopefully encourage kids that are in similar situations to have another avenue to compete, especially, you know, not just at the state level, but every meet that we have. So it would be great for him to have some kids to swim against as we move forward. And I hope that this helps maybe open up the door for some kids that are thinking about doing something that maybe they didn't know was available to them before.
So the two pieces that I'll add, number one, really funny to hear him say after the state qualifying meet that, well, actually, I think I'm already a state champion.
Just finished.
There was nobody else that was going to compete against him. So that was, he had some good humor there. And then the last piece was, that was really his hope was that next year that there'll be more that will be swimming with him. So I thought that was, it's a really neat story. So I think that's awesome.
And we had several other events there too. Nothing in the top eight, but several in the top, I'd say like 12 to 15, some individuals. And we just have so many different schools that are represented under our name. It's really a cool program when you think about it. Like, they do have all these different kids that come in and compete, you know, together. And I think it's a really cool program.
Well, they have a home. I mean, that's the biggest thing. So
yeah.
Yep. You know, and it could be growing next year. You never know. That's mm-hmm. what happens. So anything else that high school sports wise?
We host it's not sports, but we do host a show choir competition this weekend. That is why our regional game on Saturday starts an hour later than everyone else's. So that gives us time to get everything out of the gym. And basically you go from show choir to basketball really, really fast. It's amazing to just watch it, honestly.
Is everything in the auditorium, is that where they perform? Is everything in the gym?
The show choirs are in the gym and the jazz bands are in the auditorium.
Okay. So you literally need that space to open up.
Yeah. Yeah. I would hope that maybe in the future, if they want to really know what time they can be done every single year, that they may think about doing show choir at the field house.
Sure.
We did a show choir event there a few weeks ago that everyone really enjoyed. They liked it over there. So I think that may be an option that they can look at and pursue. If they want, I mean, if nothing else, it just lets you have a static time schedule. Not like, oh, are we going to host? Well, we can't really tell you. And you got to plan it that we're going to host by the time we find out if we're hosting or not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you plan for the host, then nothing else matters.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that takes care of it all. So our non-sponsor, it's Farm Bureau. I mean, they are responsible for the most extensive trophies and whatever the gifts that you get for making the state tournament than any other state in the union. So
the title sponsor.
Yeah, I figured they would be appropriate for this one. If I had thought about it, I would have saved Bob's Trophies for this one, but it didn't work out that way. And so we're going State Farm or Farm Bureau because they're the title sponsor of and responsible for the most prolific giveaway in all of amateur sports in the state of Iowa.
All sorts of balls.
Oh yes, you were there for that. My goodness.
I immediately went back to like 16 years old. Like,
yeah, I was a juvenile that day.
So immature.
An absolute juvenile. And there was no, I mean, he just kept repeating it. There was no stopping.
It was awesome.
Yeah, very funny. Very funny. So, Papa Burger, what are we talking about? Well, I think there are three areas here that we're talking about when it comes to memorabilia. This is my two cents. I don't know what anybody else thinks to it, but here's number one, personal. Favorite team, your player, you've got a card, you've got a basketball that's signed by him, you got shoes that are signed by him, you got a glove that's signed by him, you got a bat, whatever. Something that's personal for you because of your affiliation or love of somebody or some team that you follow. Second, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something. Second piece would be like for us at the high school level, a team memorabilia. So whether you get a trophy or you get a banner or you get some other hardware that comes to you for some sort of accomplishment. And then the last piece would be the individual, somebody that's in high school that gets a medal or a plaque or a trophy or a certificate, something along those lines. So let's start with the personal. Big deal to you or not a very big deal to you?
It actually is a really big deal to me. And I have a lot of things that would fit under that category. So
what's your most prized possession?
Yeah, I have a LeBron James autographed jersey of his first All-Star game.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really cool. There was only 125 of them made, and I have one of them. That one is really cool. My dad used to get me these types of things for Christmas.
Where did you get it?
I don't know.
You don't know where you got it. Okay.
Yeah. I just have it, and it's really cool. I have a Michael Jordan autographed picture, the one where he's dunking from the free throw line. That one's really cool. I have a Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, both of them autographed the same picture where they're guarding each other in a game. That one's pretty cool.
Who is Kareem playing for?
The Lakers.
Okay.
Yeah, the Lakers, and then Wilt, I believe, is a 76er. I haven't looked at it in a while.
Okay.
So, and I have many more things. I was a big David Justice fan growing up. I have an autographed baseball of his. I have a lot of those types of things. And that's not even throwing in the whole sport card phase, sure, which was cool when I was younger. And I have some really cool cards that I had accumulated over the years that, to be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure where all of them are at. But yeah, as far as the personal one goes, I do have quite a few, and ones that I would say are really cool, special, and I would guess very valuable as well.
Yeah. Well, you've been to my house, right? So, you know, in the basement, got all kinds of stuff around. So this one is, and I'll be honest with you, this all started for me collecting memorabilia when we were, I was able to get some bargain deals at a silent auction, where you put your bid in and put your bid in and I'll bid whatever, and then you get it. So that to me, I think it's awesome. Now I have a small addiction to sports memorabilia. I check Hunt Auctions frequently. That's the place that supplies the Louisville Slugger Museum with any of their sports memorabilia. Now, the problem with Hunt Auctions right now is that Hunt Auctions has very little inventory. And when I say very little inventory, they have one baseball card in their inventory right now. They're very rare right now, the memorabilia game. And I don't know what has happened or what caused the shortage, but it's unbelievable that they have very few things. Anyway, so I have lots of things. I mean, my goodness, I don't even know where to begin with what I've got. I got a basketball signed by the Milwaukee Bucks years ago in Emmitsburg, Iowa at a silent auction because no one in Emmitsburg gave a rip about the Milwaukee Bucks. I have that. I have a Dick Butkus signed ball. I have a Ronnie Lott signed ball, Herm Edwards. I have a mini helmet signed by Tyler Sash, New York Giants. I have a John Riggins mini helmet. Just lots of little things like that I thoroughly enjoy.
The silent auction thing is funny because I did this once too. I went to like a domestic abuse fundraiser. I can't remember exactly what the organization was, but I really wanted to give money while I was there, you know, and it's a lot more fun to give money and like try to win something at the same time.
Right.
So I wound up with a Nick Collison autographed ball and one shoe, huge shoe. And then I also have a Bo Pelini autographed Nebraska something. I was just trying to win stuff, and that's what I got.
Hey, Cole Hopkins, name your price.
Yeah, it's yours.
Name it. And then I have some other ones that are a little bit more meaningful, like Warren's. I have two autographed Warren Spahn baseballs. That's a big deal. And I'm looking around the basement right now. I just got lots of little things. So I love checking hunt auctions out all the time. Love checking it out. Okay, so that's the personal side. I think it's important. I love it. And I know that there's a lot of people who don't necessarily want to spend the money on it. But I mean, at some point in time, those things are going to hopefully at least hold their value, if not increase in value for somebody down the line when I'm not alive to cash in on and hopefully get some money out of it. So now let's talk team. How important is the team memorabilia? So you get a trophy or you get a banner or something along those lines for state participation or some sort of accomplishment.
I think they're very meaningful if you have a place to put it. That's the tough part.
Sure.
You know, even like we've got to do something different with our banners. We didn't put them back up after the gym got painted because we just don't have any room. Like we didn't have any more room to add any. So I think we may have to go the sport specific banner and then, you know, put years on them. And what we do with the other banners, that's a tough part. You know, like I know our wrestling team puts them up in their wrestling room, you know, which makes sense because that space is legitimately theirs. I mean, right. No one else is going to use that, but most of our spaces are not like that. So I do think they're cool. And I know we always take the trophies from state events and find a place for them in trophy cases. But then how about those other sports, you know, a ninth grade winner set volleyball plaque? Like, what are you supposed to do with those? You know, they're tough. I mean, I get they're giving something to the winner, but man, the team trophy type thing, again, where do you put all those things?
We'll talk about space first. I mean, that to me is the biggest issue. You know, when you have a trophy case that's not very full, you have a lot of opportunity to put anything that you get in there. But once that trophy case starts to fill up, now how do you determine which ones you're going to keep and which ones you're going to get rid of? That becomes a little bit more difficult. And you know, at what point in time will the trophies stop, and it be turned into an electronic reward? You know, that you can display on your electronic display that you have of things. And I don't know, but as of right now, we are out of space. The Norwalk football trophy case and several of the other trophy cases in our gym lobby are out of space, and it's time for us to. Good thing we're building a new facility. I don't know what that new area will look like, but hopefully there's a lot of room for everybody to display what they've got. Now, the importance for me, I spent a lot of years here at Norwalk where we didn't have anything. You know, we have 2000. Well, when I first started in 1997 through 2009, we got nothing. So that first trophy of 2010, when we made it to the second round of the playoffs, when it came to 32, was significant for us to be able to get that in and have that and the banner, you know, and it's a big deal, I think, and it's still a big deal. And I might be, you know, in the minority as far as holding that to a very high regard and making and placing a lot of emphasis on it. But when you spend a lot of time without getting one, I think it's very important to have, because it that is a sense of accomplishment. And, you know, whether you want to say it or not, but when people come back, it brings back a little bit of the memory and fondness of what you went through. So I find it to be a really big deal when it comes to that. And that's the same reason why we continue to show up, you know, to the state playoffs. Whenever when we make a playoff and we get our certificate from the IFCA, we still show up and get that at the Dome, because we think it's a big deal, and it's an honor to be there because of all the years that we spent not being able to go and get one and be a part of that. So I think it's a big deal. So that's where I'm at with that. How about individual? So you're a high school kid. You get whatever. You get a playoff certificate. You get a medal for being all district. You get some sort of plaque because your team did well. What do you think?
Yeah, I think my mom probably has most of those things, unless she got rid of them. I don't know. But, you know, like the certificate, that kind of thing, you know, she made a scrapbook as I graduated.
Sure.
I would assume that stuff is in there. I know she has the scrapbook, or at least she did when I saw it in a closet a couple of years ago there. So I think that stuff's still there. I know stuff that I have, probably one thing. I have the ball that I was presented when I scored my 1,000th point in high school. It's in like a you know, a basketball case, if you will. I mean, I know it's flat. I mean, it's like dead flat, but I have that somewhere here, but that might be it. But I think that stuff's important. It seems to be those things that get left at your parents' house.
So let's talk about two things. First, it's the storage piece, right? What are you going to do with it? Where are you going to display it? Where are you going to keep it? And then two, who is it really important to, for an individual side? Is it important to you, or is it important to your parents?
Probably parents.
I would say more so them.
Yeah. And it's not that it's not important to me. Like, I'm sure if it were here, I'd find a place to store it. I mean, I'm not going to put anything out there. It's not that important, but, there's a lot of value intrinsically to that stuff. But intrinsic value generally means it's in a storage area.
Regardless if you display it, or if you put it in a tote, or you keep it at your parents' house, I still think extremely important the memorabilia piece from an individual. You know, and obviously you get to decide what you want to do with it and how you want to take care of it and store it and display it, whatever. But having it, I think, is important. And I think the more you can take a snapshot of big moments in your life, I think that's really important. And that's why, you know, whenever we make the playoffs, we do a plaque. I'm sure most of the people in the state do a plaque and try to give people an opportunity to share in that memory.
Okay.
That's right. I mean, what do you think? Anything else? You got anything else from when it comes to memorabilia?
Yeah, I think when you bring up the word value, about these things. I think that's probably the stuff that makes it be visible versus not visible. So like the visible stuff probably has some monetary value. Most of those, I'm not saying that I couldn't put that basketball somewhere and make it look nice or whatever, but you know, it's a lot of, it's more of like a conversation starter when it, you know, because honestly, and I haven't looked in a while, but that jersey of LeBron that I have, I know is worth, you know, in the thousands of dollars. I don't know exactly what that number is, but you know, people say, oh, what's that worth? Yeah. You know, okay. Then we're on our phone and whoa, it's, you know, such and such. So I think a lot of time it's like to show off and be like, yeah, I got this, but I see stuff behind you that is not necessarily monetary value, but there's then the personal value.
Yeah. This is all zero. All that Shrine Bowl stuff is zero as far as the monetary value. Just because that's, and even that football is a Shrine Bowl. It's a game ball from the Shrine game in the 2017 game. So that is, but we do have, I mean, the basement is sports themed. I mean, we've got two Norwalk walls. We've got two little pieces of Shrine Bowl. And then we've got all the other little ins and outs of knickknacks and all the other stuff that we've got from a, memorabilia side. So that it, I think a lot of it also has to do with your theme. You know, what do you have for decorating? So I think that makes a difference. If I had to do this over as far as memorabilia, I would tell you all the stuff that I got in the basement, like who signed what and all that stuff. But that's for a different time, maybe. Have that conversation with all the different stuff we've got. Got some good ones.
You have that one picture. You have that one picture in your basement where that guy looks like Klay Thompson. Is that still there?
Which one is that?
It's probably to your. Where are you sitting at?
I'm sitting at the bar. So the popcorn machine is right behind me.
So it's be to your left and forward. It's like that caricature.
Oh, is it the one with me standing in the middle?
I don't know. There's a guy on there that looks like Klay Thompson.
I don't know if that's it or not. It's got to be.
Got like dark hair and a goatee.
Yeah, it's got to be. Thick is who it's going to be. It's got to be.
Well, the guy looks like Klay Thompson.
Okay, so if, like I said, if I had to do it over, I would have given you all the little pieces of memorabilia that I've got down here, which is actually quite a bit. And then talk about some of the things that we've got down here that has you know, Norwalk specific to it. But anyway, if you got anything, I'd love to hear your thoughts on memorabilia. You know, it's one of the things that's there. Again, Hunt Auctions, you know, if you want to go out and check them out. But again, not a lot of inventory right now for Hunt Auctions, and got, again, turned down to them when we were in Louisville, and I was going to get a Warren Spahn signed baseball, didn't, and then I ended up ordering it later anyway. So should have just bought it when I was there.
They should have been a non-sponsor.
Which, Hunt Auction?
Yeah.
Could have went Hunt Auctions. I mentioned them enough. I mentioned them more than Farm Bureau, so it's been good.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to history. Remember last time we talked about Little Hawkeye Conference in the original formation of Little Hawkeye Conference in 1982, and I think the first season of everything was 1983. So went back to my notes, and here is the games or the teams that Norwalk played when they joined Little Hawkeye Conference in 1983. So this is the season of 1983. Indianola, Bondurant, not Bondurant Farrar, Bondurant, Dallas Center, not Dallas Center Grimes, but Dallas Center, Winterset, Clark, Boone, Seidel, Adel, and Pella. Now, my issue is I don't know which are non-conference and which are conference games out of that, but that is the schedule from 1983. And I talked a little bit to Chad Weedman about who was in, and we had a pretty good idea. But couldn't necessarily nail it all the way down as to who exactly was in there in 1983. And then our positive is Isaiah Picard. Right, Picard. I think that is an absolutely fantastic story. And if you remember all the way back, to when we first started talking about it. You and Tom and who else?
Cheezik.
Jared came down and had a conversation about how you could handle it, how you, you know, what could you do to make it right? What could you do to help? And they did it. They created the two events at the state level for him and anybody else that is going to fall in that category. And they came through, they followed through with it, and they crowned their first ever para swimmer champion in the 2022 state meet. And Isaiah from Knoxville, Indianola is your first champion in that regard. And it was phenomenal. And I thought what really was awesome was seeing Tom Keating himself tweet out about Isaiah being a state champion and what his time was and all that stuff. So they were paying attention and took great care of making sure that everything went the way that it should have. So that's our positive. Isaiah Picard, your two-event state champion in the para swimming for state swimming.
I cannot even attempt to come up with a different positive than that, because I think this last week has really shown how many people have gravitated towards that story and how many different people, whether they have anything to do with it or not, but how much it's impacted their lives. And I think anytime you have a story or a situation like that, that can reach that many people for a good reason, I'm not sure you would even do any justice trying to come up with any other type of positive for the week.
I just think it's phenomenal. I mean, especially because we got to hear the beginning of that story. And then if, you know, anybody that listens to the pod paid any attention to state swimming over the weekend, saw it come to fruition, you know, and it played all the way out. So that to me is really remarkable. We got to be a part of it or a bystander, a looker on, right? Mm-hmm. No, a look on her of the whole thing from start to finish. So it was pretty awesome, I think. All right, you got anything else?
No.
Reminders, anything for Katie's theater, send it to me. Let's get that going. Parking lot questions, right? How long will you circle the parking lot? How far away will you park? Like, what is too far? And then, of course, are there any hard no's that for surely not going to get done? If you got anything for us when it comes to memorabilia, special thanks to Farm Bureau and Hunt Auctions for their non-sponsorship. History, of course, was who Norwalk played in 1983 in the first year of the Little Hawkeye Conference, and then Isaiah Picard as our positive. So that's it. Episode 75, memorabilia. Thanks for hopping on. Appreciate it. I know it's a Monday, but it's the only time we're going to get it done. Appreciate everybody listening. And it is Monday, February 14th, 2022, Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. This is episode 75 of Talking the Walk. I am Paul Patterson signing off.
I'm guest host Lee Nelson. Thanks for listening.
Closing time. Thank you for listening to the Talking the Walk podcast show. Yeah.